okay.
Thank you. You know, it's so good to be here tonight, and as we are doing this Like a Child series, it's going to be a lot of fun. We didn't start out making it fun. We started out thinking about how we need to be more innocent and trusting with our Lord, and that was a serious matter. But the more we thought about it, the more we realized that we had more fun as children than we do as adults. So we've got, like Mary Alice said, there's a crayon coloring page you have there you can do. There's a trail back there that you can follow, and like she said, a video photo booth there. I'd like for you to take a photo and post it on Facebook. Let everybody else know that this is where we can be childlike and get away with it. So, good thing. You know, as we prepare to take up our tithes and offerings, I just want to remember you. Have you ever noticed how a child takes so much delight in giving an offering? When you give them some coins and say, go put it in the basket, they love doing that because they naturally love to share. They're naturally innocent and trusting in things like that, and they love to be generous. And we can give like a child too. All we have to do is let go of our cynicism that we've developed and our pride that we've developed as adults, and recognize that God is in the middle of it all. God is making things happen, and that everything that we have is really God's in the first place, so we can trust Him with it and let His kingdom come. We can build His kingdom here on earth with God's help, one disciple at a time. Let's pray. Lord God of heaven and earth, we thank You that You have blessed us to be a blessing to others. We thank You for the joy we have in giving to others. So take these offerings and these tithes and teach us, as You have taught little children, to trust that nothing can separate us from Your great love in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
So kind.
coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't tear down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Shadow that he won't light up for us, y'all. He left the 99 for you and for me. I love that song. He says to love like a child. Have a childlike heart. Let's try to get back to that, y'all.
Good evening, all. Our scripture reading this evening comes from both the New and the Old Testament. If you're able to stand with me, please do so at this time. Mark chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." The title of this evening's sermon is, "My God is for Me." We read in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. The plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Daniel prayed three times a day. So there were these two guys that the king really liked Daniel more than them, and they were very jealous. And they said, "We don't like Daniel." So the two guys asked the king to make the law, and then the king said, "Okay." So they made a law, and they can't pray to anyone else but the king. Daniel prayed to God and got thrown in the lion's den.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. My God is for me.
Well, good evening. It's so nice to have a technological genius in the back like Tanner, who very quickly discerned that I was wearing my sanctuary mic instead of my FLC mic. And I really wish, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was somebody in the sanctuary that was going, where's that voice coming from? But it does happen. You can speak with my sanctuary mic in here, and they can hear it in there if, you know, if everything's on and people are actually in there. So anyway, it's good to be here with you tonight as we launch this series called Like a Child. And as you can see, we're doing a lot of playful things with it. And yet it really can be kind of a serious thing, can't it? Because Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like a child. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to enter the kingdom of heaven? And yet we work so hard at adulting, don't we? But if ever there is a time for us to just say straight up, there's a big difference between being childish and being childlike. Certainly, this is the case. What does Jesus mean when he says we need to be like a child? Well, does it mean that we have to throw tantrums? No, I don't think so. What about, does it mean that we have to have that childlike creativity where everything we see is brand new and a box is not really a box, it's a toy? Last week I went to visit my two grandchildren who are living in Delaware, Tova and Lila, and they are sweet sisters to one another, but they are really very different kids. Tova will tear the place up, and Lila just smiles her way through life. Tova is artistic in everything that she does, and whatever is going on, she'll find a way to make art with it. Lila really doesn't care that much about art, but everything is a musical palette to her. And whatever's going on, her world is just filled with sounds waiting to be organized into music. While I was there was a man across the street mowing his yard, and I think his lawnmower needed a tune-up. It was going like, rawr, 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 and she was just dancing to the beat, you know? Rawr, 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 rawr. Meanwhile, Tova was in the kitchen playing with her new toy. I don't know why they gave her fingernail polish as a toy. The very idea that you should keep it contained in this little space, not going to happen. Thankfully, they gave her some children's fingernail polish, which is supposedly easy to wash off. We discovered the limits to their genius in that product. But Tova was not even slightly interested in painting her fingernails. Instead, she got a big piece of paper and started just painting with it, thick paint. Used the whole bottle of fingernail polish on this one piece of paper. And she was so proud of her accomplishment, she looked at it and said, look what I made, look what I made. And everybody goes, that is beautiful, Tova. And then she said, now watch this. Right on the wall, rubbing it in, pressing it down, peeling it off. Look, I made a design. Such as childish, I suppose. Is that what Jesus wants from you and me? Well, I think he does want us to be creative. He wants us to think beyond our habits and think beyond our usual way of doing things to find other ways, of course. He gave us these marvelous brains, and he wants us to use them. But I think he also wants us to grow up. At the very end of the day, I think the way that he wants us to be childlike more than anything else is trust. As we grow up, it's so hard to trust because when we get let down, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts physically. Sometimes it hurts spiritually or psychologically, but it hurts. And we are built to learn our lessons from pain, are we not? When somebody hurts us, we don't want to trust again. Do you remember having a father like this that would say, "Come on, jump, I'll catch you," and you lean out and you jump and he catches you? And after a while, he might even step back a little further and say, "Now jump further," you know? And it's a great game. It's a lovely game, especially if your father is good at catching. My father was a World War II veteran, injured, and didn't have very good eye-hand coordination, so he caught me with his face one time. But aside from that, that's the kind of trust I think our Heavenly Father wants to develop with us. He says, "You're my child. I'm your father." Of all the names we have for God, and I don't know how many names there are, must be 50 or 60, the one that I like best of all is Father. You might like Mother, but the very idea of having a name like Father, you see, it not only defines his essential character, it also defines my essential character. I am defined not as who I am on this earth, but who I am in relationship to the one who made me. And that's a beautiful thing. So when God says, "Brian, I want you to trust me on this," it's scary because I've been hurt before. But then when I try it and he catches me, it's a delirious experience. And after you learn that, he says, "Now let's try it again." And my knees start to shake again. But I know he's training me to trust him. And for each and every one of us, children of God, God wants us to learn to trust him. Sometimes I'm convinced he thinks we're ready for a bigger step than we are. And it really is scary because faith sometimes means stepping out when you don't even see that he's there to catch you. Right? But that's the way God wants us to be like children. Trust. There are some ways that that is misused. Because being childlike in trusting God doesn't mean turning off your brain. I was speaking to a very faithful, very sincere Christian who was insisting that the world was flat. And I said, "Why do you insist that the world is flat?" "Because the Bible describes it that way. God made creation and he formed it that way. And so I think the world is more like a disc than it is like a ball." And I said, "Well, we have a lot of other evidence that seems to speak otherwise. And most people on the earth believe that it's round. We've even taken pictures of it from space, and it's pretty round." And he said, "Well, Jesus said you have to have the faith and innocence and trust of a child. And I just choose to trust my Father when he says the earth is flat. It's flat. And if everybody else disagrees, that's okay. I'm just going to trust my Heavenly Father." That's what he said. To me, that is a misuse of this scripture, because while he wants us to have innocence and trust as a child, he also wants to grow and develop in other ways. We have lots of stages of our physical and psychological and spiritual development. We start off as little babies, like little Lila. She's just now learning to walk. And they're still trying to do the potty training too. But that's probably more than you wanted to know. But as we grow up, we get into different stages. And that's true of our physical selves, but it's also true of our faith development. James Fowler, a wonderful theologian, developed the whole idea, the concept of faith development that comes in stages. We first began to think of nothing beyond our own world. As a baby, we're only really just aware of mommy and daddy, or ourselves. As we grow older, we begin to think of God as maybe somebody in a white robe with a long white beard, or maybe a shepherd's staff. As we get a little bit older, we might think that maybe God gets angry sometimes, but we still have a fairly literalistic understanding of God being a person or person-like. We can't conceptualize God in other ways. By the time we're in our adolescence and our bodies are going haywire with hormones everywhere, we're starting to learn how to question things. We're starting to learn how to rebel against what we've learned before. And so we push against those boundaries. And we try to figure out what's true and what's not true. Then something happens at a very critical stage when we go off to college. We come to that point where we're ready to not believe. That happens coincidentally to be the very time when we as young people go off and leave home and leave all the structure we've had all of our lives. And so there's a lot of rejection of the notion of God. Even people who choose to believe in God say, "See you later, O Creator. I'll check in at the church again when I'm married and have children. And even then, only for the sake of the children. This fantasy stuff is not for me." You see, the problem is, when we're little, we learn that God is good. God will take care of you. You don't need to be afraid of the dark, because God is watching over you. And God is like a good, good father who's not going to hurt you. Okay? And so, as a little baby, you begin to think that God is going to make sure. Let's go back a couple of slides. We got to make sure that nothing happens to our child, and the child has no problem believing that God will take care of them. By the time they get up into college, they start experiencing real life. Bad things happen. You fail a test. You make a mistake with whatever's going on in your life, and you begin to realize, maybe God's not protecting me after all. Maybe all these things I learned about God, I should assign in my brain the same place that I put the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. Those were fun when I believed them, but it doesn't really measure up to real life. And so they will go the rest of their life not believing in God, simply because they didn't have the faith development through the stages. They learned who God was when they learned about Noah and the ark, and didn't have good development through the ages, so that by the time they became adults, they weren't ready to have that childlike faith as they faced adult life stuff. We as Christian educators have failed countless millions of people by failing to take note of the stages of faith development, so that in each stage of their physical and psychological growth, they're developing in their spiritual faith growth as well, so that when life hits them, they're ready to trust in God. This is not a 21st century phenomenon. This happened in Jesus' day too. The kids were scurrying around, and some of them wanted to see the great rabbi Jesus, and the disciples were shushing them away. "We have adult things to do over here." And Jesus says, "No, let the children come to me. You see these children? Everything that I'm trying to teach you, as you're trying to grow up as an adult theologian, everything I'm trying to teach you boils down to this. You need to be like this child. Go back to learning the trust and the faith that you had when life was innocent and you were pure and you didn't have all of these life experiences to muddle your mind. Go back to your father. He's a good, good father. Go back and learn God in that way. Now, as life progresses and you get to closer to the end of your life, you may look back. Looking back over your life and you think about all the deeds that you've done, you might also think about, what are the things that I didn't do because I didn't trust my father? Did he call me into some specific area of service where I could make a difference to his kingdom, but I was afraid to let go of the job that I had, that miserable job that robbed me of so much happiness, but at least it paid well? What about all the times when I wanted to give to something that would make a difference, but I was afraid that I would not have enough money left over for myself? These are adult-like thinking processes that God wants us to be rid of. Could I have my water, please? I could use that. Thank you. How many times have I had the opportunity to get into an intimate relationship with God? When I have felt his warmth in my life, but I've been hurt in intimate relationships before and I don't want to be hurt again. How many times have we missed a boat? Brothers and sisters, I've made a lot of mistakes, but when I get toward the end of my life, I hope I can look back and say, God, I trust you. I've learned to trust you over the times. Many times I've had to relearn it, but every time I learn it, I thank you, God, for what comes next in my life. I've been blessed because you teach me to trust. This is that father-child relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. And even the prophet Jeremiah, when Jerusalem was besieged and all things were broken up, Jeremiah, I'll get it out there, reminded us that the Lord said, I have great plans for you, good plans. Not plans for disaster, but plans for good. I have plans that give you a future and a hope. You know, sometimes I think we're called to live in the moment. You've heard that before, right? We need to live in the moment. But I think our plans for the future and our hope for the future is the engine that allows us to make the most of today. If we don't have plans for the future and a hope for the future of something better, and if we don't have this sense that God is calling us into a rich and fulfilling life, then we don't know how to best use today. Our God is a good God who gives us good plans for a future and a hope, not so that we may hang on to some future that never gets here, but so that we may live fully into the day we have now. This is the Christian life, a life looking always to the future, being grateful for the gifts of the past, and living in the moment with our eyes fixed on the glorious prize in Christ Jesus that awaits us. This is what we should do as we're developing from a child to an adult and to an elderly person. We should be able to say we've made the most of this because our God is a good God and he has taught me to trust him. This makes for the best kind of life, I am convinced. You know, there's another thing about being childlike that I don't think is a good corollary. And that is, you know, when I was a child, we'd play hide and seek. One time I did such a good job of hiding, my parents called the police. I was so proud of myself, but they didn't seem to appreciate it the same way I did. But I can also remember times when I was even younger that when I would play hide and seek, they would kind of let me find them. You know what I'm saying? They said, come and find me. Where am I? And then they'd stick their head out so I could see them, you know. And the fun was not in them hiding. The fun was in me discovering. Right? Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that as you're going through life searching for God, he's not hiding so you don't see him. He is hiding where you're not looking. How many times do we look for God in all the wrong places? We search for God in those things that we think will make us happy, those things of this world. And God is poking his head out saying, I'm over here. Come this way, please. There was a time when God was so hard to find that people had so long forgotten what a good God he is. He came way out of hiding. And he showed up in Bethlehem. And God said, I'm tired of you looking in the wrong places, and I'm tired of being where you can't find me, so I'm coming to you. I'm going to live with you, and I'm going to be with you so that you and I can have that intimate relationship I've always wanted. And from this day and forevermore, even though I may only be on earth for a few decades, but from that day and forevermore, the whole world will know who I am because they have known Jesus. God does not play hide and seek. And he has promised us that if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. What does that mean, to look wholeheartedly? Well, it means, of course, not to look half-heartedly. If there's a part of your heart that you're keeping here on earth, and you don't want to give up the things that you're attracted to and you're stuck with, then maybe you're not going to find God because you're not looking with your whole heart. And you're back to looking for him in all the wrong places. Here's a good start. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four versions of the same story of God coming out from hiding and saying, here I am. You can find me. You know who I am because you've met him. His name is Jesus. Now that's maybe a little heavier than you thought you would hear on a sermon series called Like a Child. I wish I could have filled it full of jokes for you. But in reality, we have work to do. It wasn't easy growing up. It's not easy being like a child either. Praise be to God that he gives us the words of our faith, that he gives us the songs that lighten our hearts, that he gives us each other that we can draw closer together and encourage one another along. And with all of that, we can be like children again. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good Father. We see it every day in every way. Yet time and again, we convince ourselves that maybe you're angry with us, or maybe you're hiding from us, or maybe you're not even real. that's foolishness, Lord. That's spending too much time in this world when you call us to go back to our childhood and remember what it's like to trust like our heart's never been broken. Lord, and let it be so with each and every person here that we may be freed from all the damages of the past that keep us from you and embrace the life that really is life that you have invited us to. Let us do this one person at a time, but let us do this as a whole church, so that with childlike faith we can sing your songs, we can dance your dances, we can give like children give with joy in their hearts. And we will be proud to call you Father. Amen.